Chuck, good morning.
You know, Steve, I'm a little disappointed.
Why?
Because this is like the first time I've showed up on time to anything in like 7 months. Not that the segment wasn't good, it was actually excellent, but like this doesn't happen very often. I was actually on time and, I had a question. You lived in Quebec, right? You lived there, Montreal, for a while? Do they actually have cars? Or because it seems like the people that come down here in the winter from Quebec, it's like they're practicing or something because they just like stop in the middle of roads and they signal right and go left, and it's just confusing to think that they can actually drive these really nice cars that don't have all these dents in them and they make it all the way down here. I'm just trying to figure like what happens up there.
They are notorious. I won't say bad drivers. They're aggressive.
Horrible.
They're
beyond bad.
But they're also speeders. I mean, they're insane speeders.
When they get here, believe me, they're out of their league here. People here go 100 like it's nothing. Like Bianconi, this guy. I didn't know there was French Formula One drivers, but he should be in there. His weight might be a little bit of an issue, but man. Anyways, I'm here on time today.
Well done, and I we're sorry for
no, don't be sorry.
All right,
I was just it was like a humble brag that I was on time.
Well, we had a terrific response 2 weeks ago when we introduced the segment, and we're going to do it on a regular basis. And you know, we're just kind of getting started, wading into what we ended up calling it Industry Answers. And you know, not that we've got every solution to every problem at the ready, but much like what I did yesterday, I don't know if you heard the visit we did with Dr. Robinson, Mary Robinson from New Bolton. But explaining things goes a long way to mitigating some of the anxieties and the angst. And you know, it's funny that David actually referenced a lot of this too in his visit. Try and explain that there's people working on all of the topics that people, Chuck, make out that the that the game isn't addressing, when in fact it virtually everything is being addressed, but there are a lot of complexities and a lot of things that take a lot of time to be put in place.
Well, racing isn't immune to the general issues that society faces today, where explaining something to someone who actually has an interest or has the intelligent level to understand is one thing, but so many people have drawn a line in the sand, and it doesn't matter how much you show them the reality of a situation. It doesn't matter how you explain to them that the logic and reasoning that they're using is faulty. They're not going to listen. And I mean, there's no better example than the politics that we have to, I ignore them. I don't care. I ain't voting for any of these people. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever you people want to vote for and do, I don't give a shit, to be honest. But like, we have an impeachment which is a giant waste of time. You know what this impeachment is like? It's like when they hustle you and the racing office hustles you to put a horse in a stake that you have no chance in, and you think to yourself, well, maybe this will work, and then you get the PPs and you're 50-1 and the guy in the racing form and the little thing on the right says like, must have been drinking when he made this entry. I mean, not to be political, but this has zero chance of going past 15 minutes in the Senate. So it's just a big waste of time. But the thing is that you have people on both sides of the aisle, and they're not going to listen to the other side because there's no compromise. But that's in so many things in life now, and horse racing is not immune to it. We talk all the time about issues in the business and things that are going on, and people have this faulty idea that 30 years ago no horses broke down, everybody conditioned them perfectly, and blah 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 blah. It's all bullshit. There was more horses breaking down then than there ever was. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we do a poor job in explaining things, but some of the people that are out there that are the loudest voices against us, it doesn't matter what we tell them, it doesn't matter what we say, it doesn't matter. The truth and facts aren't what they used to be, and we are not immune to that. And no matter what we say, no matter how much research we do, if we could keep, if we had a million horses run and one of them got hurt and fatally, the left, the people, these liberal people that are like, or I don't know if they're liberal or because I don't know what they are, but the animal rights people, they're going to say, look, that's not acceptable. One death is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. So it doesn't matter a lot of times what you do, which is why I think that what we should do is just do the best that we can and put the, you know, the best product that we can on the track, to do, make the safety measures what we can, and stop worrying so much about, oh, they're going to ban us. Well, if they ban us, they ban us. There's nothing we can do to stop it except do the best we can. And it's not going to happen as easily as everyone thinks it is. This isn't dog racing. This is a billion-dollar business. There's tremendous amounts of money invested in real estate, and there's a tremendous amount of money bet. I'm not saying I'm not naive, but by the same token, some of the things that we do and we say are going to fall on deaf ears, and we just have to understand that. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do them and we shouldn't say them. But, you know, the whip thing, I have an issue with it. And I'm not going to say what my opinion is, because why is my opinion any better than anyone else's? But I see so many quote-unquote industry insiders saying, oh, well, we should get rid of the whip. This is a fundamental part of the game. There's not that much. The horse racing is a simple sport in the end. We put horses in a gate with little guys on them, and they run as fast as they can to a wire, and then we you know, sort out who finished first, second, third, and so forth. The whip is part of the game. It's always been part of the game. And to eliminate that, just say, oh, well, it's not going to be a big deal. It is going to be a big deal. It changes the fundamental running of the race the way we have seen it always. If the NFL said, you know what, to be safer, we're going to have play flag football, we're not going to have tackle football, it certainly would be safer. But no one will watch. And that's not, maybe it's a little more radical than this, but I just think that to just, you know, flippantly say, well, you know, we got to do this or these people. Well, these people who aren't participating in the sport, who aren't going to participate in the sport, why do they matter so much? This is the thing I don't understand. Why do we not? And I guess, listen, you can, we all know that the people who put the revenue up for the game in the end are the bettors. And the bettors have had not much of a voice, to put it kindly, for pretty much ever. So it's not that surprising that they wouldn't be reaching out to their customers and saying, you know, if we're going to make this radical change, how is this going to affect what your betting level is going to be? Is it going to go down? I mean, Jerry Brown's been very adamant, and Jerry Brown's a very big player, and it has clients that are very big players. He's been adamant that the elimination of Lasix is probably going to cause his play to go down, but that falls on deaf ears. And that's, you know, what I'm trying to say about my original statement, is that you can't convince some people no matter what, because they've decided what they're going to be for and or what they're going to be against, and it just is no rhyme, reason, facts, or otherwise it's going to change that. But I just am fascinated in almost a morbid way how we see all these statements by tracks, and it's safety, 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 safety. And I understand what they're trying to do. But they forget that all the people, almost all of the people that would be for prohibiting whips, would be for elimination of Lasix, this, almost all of them aren't people who actually bet. And it's kind of like, say, McDonald's decided to go, you know, vegan. Well, they'd open up the market to a little bit, you know, different customer, but they would lose the vast majority of their current customers. So this is us. Are we going to go vegan? You know, we're making our horses go organic, which in the end, you know, listen, Lasix isn't going to make the game go away, but it's not going to, like, it's a falsehood to think that the elimination of Lasix is going to help the business other than for rich people at cocktail parties. Say, oh, well, you know, we got rid of drugs. We don't, you know, all our horses. Meanwhile, they go in the, you know, I'm not even going to go there. But You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, well, this is because we were told, we had a case study in this. We got rid of steroids in the business. We took guys who could give Winstrol equipoise. You could give it the day before race. You could give it the day of the race if you were a maniac. You know, there's stuff that you, we were, you know, was going on that honestly should have been curbed, should have been far better regulated. And it hasn't been quote unquote eliminated, but the time frame in which the horse races to which they can last be treated with a steroid is about 6 months in some places.
Right.
So it all effectively
has, eliminated.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we were told that it was going to make the public confident higher.
Yep.
It was told with, you know, the bettors would bet more and these guys wouldn't win. These guys wouldn't lose. And actually the opposite happened in most cases. It had no positive effect at all.
No.
I can't say it had a negative effect, but the trends didn't stop. They didn't stop a bit. And that's my question for everyone who thinks that the elimination of Lasix is going to cause this resurgence.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Like I said, we've said it a million times. There's nobody sitting on the sidelines saying, you know what? I'd handle $2 million a year if they just didn't have that L on the program.
Well, a case could be made. I know the timing and there's a lot more. I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to be flippant about it, but there's a case to be made that eliminating steroids actually may have taken some horses, things like geldings, you know, that had trouble keeping weight on, you know, may have hurt.
No, I understand.
From a
standpoint. You know what? To be honest with you, Steve, my biggest issue with the way it was done was that steroids were essentially unregulated. And you know, I guess for some people it's not hard to believe, but it was always kind of funny to me that there was almost no rules about it, and it was just kind of a given. And done properly, it can be beneficial to horses. Steroids are—it's not heroin, you know. I mean, these are medical drugs created for a particular reason, some of which actually horses suffer from. Some horses, some geldings, need a little bit of a pick me up, and. There are. It does help heal. It does help stimulate appetite when used properly. The problem was always when used properly.
You're right.
So,
right.
I mean, I was never a big, like, I wasn't going to stand on my pulpit and scream, no, we can't get rid of this, because we can, and we did. But it's like, you know, to me, the connotation in the general public of the word steroid and the connotation of the word Lasix, it's like, you know, comparing the people's emotions about Donald Trump to people's emotions about some guy who sits on the city council of Wichita. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody knows what steroids are, and everybody says, oh, it's just what the baseball players took, and, you know, blah, 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 it's bad, bad, bad. And Lasix just, it doesn't, you know, I hate to talk about Lasix all the time, but it just, it's the whip is the same, we're going through the same thing in that, we're changing rules to satisfy people who aren't, aren't going to be satisfied, and B, aren't really participants in the game. I mean,
right.
The regulation of whips has been lacking, and that goes back to the fact that we have relatively untrained people that regulate our sport, be it on the state commission level or even the steward stance. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that there's some really excellent stewards that get it and do a good job, but there are a lot of them that go to this accreditation class. And I mean, when you look at the amount of money that we're talking about that's handled on our races and the amount of money that goes into, you know, the acquisition of bloodstock and the values that therefore, you know, when you disqualify horses from, you know, Kentucky Derby, but it's you know, it's woefully inadequate. I don't give a shit what anyone says. It just is. You can't go to a 2-day thing and say, okay, everybody's, you know, we're all on board, because look at what we have now. From track to track, from day to day at the same track, we have inconsistencies. And everybody scratches their head and says, oh, we don't know what to do. Well, one thing we could do is train the stewards better. Spend the money, train them better. I'll be honest, I don't think anyone that's ever gone to an accreditation class has failed. I know the NFL and the NBA, which you know, have their own officiating problems, despite them putting tremendous amounts of money in and tremendous amounts of training and tremendous amount of input from, you know, various participants, they still have issues. But we don't really do a very good job of training people. I mean, I've talked to stewards in different... I've been quoted rules that don't exist. And part of it is because, you know, we're this tradition-bound and we always did it like this, even though the rules say something different. It just is... It's, to me, I think stewards would be more effective if they had more training. If they had more, okay, what do we do in this situation? Okay, what are we going to call this? Is this, you know, is this hurting, or is this just a horse lugging out a little bit? What is what? You know, again, they're all judgment calls in the end. But if people's judgments were adjusted so that they know what the group now is going to consider a foul and what they're going to consider not a foul, wouldn't we be in a better spot? And to me, almost every organization this sport, I'm going to say it, they don't work hard enough. You know,
that's fair.
We get criticized as trainers. You know, that, well, we do this, and we're greedy, and we do the blah, blah, blah. And believe me, plenty of trainers do plenty of stupid things, and we're certainly not the one most wonderful group of people. There's good, there's bad, there's whatever. But we work hard 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And sometimes when the alphabet soup groups say, well, you know, you guys shouldn't do this. Well, where were you Saturday morning? Well, you were golfing, or you were at the country club, or you were wherever the hell those people do. That's what they do. This is business is in a critical stage, and it's just not enough anymore. I mean, and I probably would have been a party pooper at the symposium, but I would say the same thing to virtually every single group. You got to do better. It's just that simple. I don't care if you got to spend more time. Do it.
Well, that's the theme, the do the best you possibly can and you know, the best practice suggestions, and that came up. You know, we had Dr. Durenberger the other day, and you know, she talked about, you know, the best practice concept, which is what's being touted and what's being pushed when it comes to the, you know, like the plan that Alan Foreman talked about as well, the, you know, the strategic plan, you know, to reduce injuries and fatalities. Everybody being as attentive as possible, and whether it's taking it more, however you want to term it, Chuck, taking it more seriously, you know, realizing the urgency. And realize the, you know, the pressures that the industry faces. I have boiled it down simply to being a good steward of the game, and in every single area, if you've got a responsibility in the game, you've got a responsibility to the game.
I agree. You know, this business, we go from one extreme of people like, ah, it's fine, it's always been that way, it's going to work out, don't worry, blah, 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 to the other side, which is, oh my God, the sky is falling, and, you know, the protesters, you know, it's we got to find a middle ground where we're just more effective, and that's everybody. I'll talk to you about, I complain about the stewards, but I think the stewards did a really good job the other day at Gulfstream in the Caribbean Classic final race, where they left the horse up that was probably going to win, and Pat Cummings will love this, but they penalized the jockey, who, yeah, you know, is my friend, but he is a notorious fouler, for lack of a better word. He certainly looked twice. He came over. He hit the horse right-handed, and he definitely, you know, impeded the other horse, but the other horse wasn't going to win if in the eyes of 99.9% of people, it happened really late, right by the wire, and the jockey got dazed, and the horse was left up, and the people who bet the horse, who was the best horse, who won the race, they were rewarded. The problem I have is that going to continue to be done, and is it only that jockey going to be the one that that suffers those consequences? I think that it's something that we have to decide. What are we going to call this? What are we going to do? Is if that's going to be the case, fine. But also, if he does it again 3 weeks from now, then the penalty has to increase from 5 days. And that's my argument with Pat Cummings about this, because I know Pat is very much a proponent of leaving horses up and penalizing the jockeys. Because, it, you know, it is the jockey's indiscretion. It's not the horse's indiscretion always. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I mean, when it's, you know, a horse spooks from something and bumps into three other horses, that there's nothing the jockey can do, of course. We know that. But it's just a difficult... determination of, you know, quote unquote, would the horse have won or would the horse have lost? That's the issue I have sometimes. But when it happens one stride from the wire, two strides from the wire, well, clearly the horse wasn't going to win. But, you know, so if we can maintain that status, then I think we're, you know, trending in the right direction. But, you know, I don't know. I hope, and I think that they're trying. I know Mike Leikow, we've talked about this before, and, you know, he only controls one track, but, you know, that's where it's got to start. It's got to start at one place, and then it's got to go to other places. And I've always maintained that the lack of uniformity in stewards' decisions is a real issue, because it's an issue where you walk out both the industry participants, the owner, the trainers and such, and the bettors all walk out of there with half of them thinking that they got screwed, that they had money that was rightfully theirs taken out of your pocket. And nothing will make a person come back or less likely to come back or more likely to leave the sport in whatever capacity they're in than when they feel like they got ripped off. I mean, God forbid, even a drug positive, okay, you get a drug positive, it's 6 nanograms, blah, 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 and it's adjudicated 6 months down the road. Well, the person who made the bet on the race and the person who was finished second in the race, even though sometimes they get moved up, I mean, you just, time heals all, right? But it's that moment of, hey, they took a horse down for a lot worse the other day and then they left this one up. You just feel ripped off, and that's not a good feeling. And I understand it happens in sports. I mean, certainly the fans of the New Orleans Saints know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the NFL actually went out and changed the rule because of that, which is, I mean, I'll be honest, I still don't know what half the penalties in the NFL are. It seems like there's a penalty on every play, but some get called, some don't get called. And with, you know, slow motion, high def, we can see so much more than we could before. But and again, for sports leagues, it's an ongoing issue as well. But for us, you know, it's a main issue, and I just don't know that we're any closer than we were before.
It's this is one area where no matter how efficient we get or how well trained the stewards might be, and you may get a scenario where you've got the three best judges in the stand in the history of the game, and frankly, Chuck, they're going to make calls that people are going to be uncomfortable with, and there's going to be a percentage that benefited and a percentage that you know feel like they were, you know, they were robbed. And
sure. Well, you're always going to have calls.
May or may not
calls.
Be right. Yeah,
you're always going to have judgment calls, but
that's not going to go away.
What happened in Saratoga? Like, was it last year where seemingly there was a DQ or a non DQ every single day? The same thing seemed to be adjudicated differently. So,
if it was just frustrating.
Once you get that consistency level, you understand. Like the NBA did a good job with charges, in that they let the defender go straight up and down now, and that's not considered a block. And they also put a line underneath the hoop, where an arc where if the defender's foot is on it or in it, then it's an automatic foul on a defender. So the judgment is kind of taken away. And I know we don't have, you know, this isn't like track and field where we have lines on the
right, the, right.
But we just need more consistency. And to me, we're not going to get more consistency talking about it on Twitter or mm-hmm. talking about it. You know, we need to actually implement something. We need to do something, and we need to have it done across the board. You know, it's something that needs to be done where everyone is in the room and it's explained the same to everyone, not just, well, you know, be a little more lenient. Oh, let this go, let that go. It's an issue that we can fix, and there's a lot of issues that we can't fix.
Right.
So let's try to tackle the ones we can. And that's
one
of the, big issues I had with the whip thing is that, you know, listen, for people outside the industry, of course, they're going to say, well, you know, how's it look, blah, blah, blah. Have we asked our participants what they think? And not in public. It doesn't have to be in public. We don't want people to be chastised, oh, you're a horse, you know, beater. But what's the matter with the rules that they have in you know, God forbid I say this, Europe, where you're allowed to you know.
Well, that's what did you hear? I mean, when this came up last week in advance of the CHRB meeting, Gary Stevens said that. He said, why don't we just adopt, you know, what they're doing in Europe, which pretty much placated the people who were anti-whip. So, you know, Steve, that's a fair assessment.
I think so. And the fact of the matter is this game is still a game we're playing to win. It's a competition. This is not, we've talked about before, we're not going to just bring the horse to the paddock and then we're going to pick out the prettiest three and then, you know, that'll be win, place, and show and everybody be happy. And, you know, it's just, we're still trying to win. You have to try to win. There should be ethics, there should be morals, there should be rules, there should be things in place, obviously. But the gist of it is still to have your horse finish first. And if he can't finish first, finish second. If he can't finish second, finish third. And sometimes that gets lost in the, well,
that's fair.
Everything needs to be safe. Well, it needs to be safe. We get that, but...
Like, it's a risky endeavor. This is a dangerous endeavor. Period. And people have got to acknowledge that, Chuck. Before we wrap, because we won't talk again for 2 weeks. Send out a your favorite Scooter Dickey anecdote.
I can't. I know this is not FCC regulated, but.
Still,
Scooter was a great guy. Scooter was a guy everybody rooted for, and that's rare on the backside to have a guy that everybody roots for. They all wanted to see him do good, and he was a great guy. And honestly, we'll miss him. Fun guy, real, and you know, did a good job. Even late in his career, I mean, sometimes you don't get the horses that you get, you know, when you're younger. But he did a lot of great work, and we'll miss him for sure.
Arguably, his best horses came to him late in his career, between Flat Out and Flat Lined and One Go, All Go. I mean, the last 5 years, six, seven years, Scooter got his hands on some good ones. And you know, for years he was showing how well he could do with ones that, you know, had chips and dents in them. Horseman's horseman, as I've called them before.
That he was.
Chuck Simon, everybody, Cannon Shall. Chuck, Merry Christmas. Happy, healthy New Year. And we will provide industry answers when the 2020 season starts next year, after the first of the year.
Yes, sir.
There he is, everybody. Chuck Simon. Already got a hate mail, Chuck. I'll forward you.
Excellent. That's what we're here for.
I want to thank Chuck and the Maven, David Goodfriend, Sid Fernando, Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and Pete Fornital. A lot of fun. Deja on the board. KC doing some production overnight. And tomorrow, Tony Black will get Tony's reaction to the whip rule changes in California. Even though we talk sort of in advance of them, we'll get more from Tony. Steve Haskin to wrap up the year as well. Rich Eng. And we owe a few people some year-end visits as well, so we'll try to get them all in. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.